Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. Proudly present, no borders, no race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. And you know, I think I speak for every Bostonian here when I say, eat a throbbing dick, sports world. The New England Patriots fought tooth and nail against the Seattle Seahawks, and after the most nerve-wracking 2 minutes in the history of the Super Bowl, we won it all with the greatest interception in the history of football. Thanks to rookie Malcolm Butler. We won. Every person who called us cheaters have shut up, and the truth prevailed. I mean, after all, the good guys always win, and since the Patriots won, that makes them the good guys. Ergo, the Patriots aren't cheaters. Plain and simple. But let's not add any more gasoline to that fire. Let's just get the show going with this week's killer playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cgjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start the show off with some Orange Range, and this comes off of their 2005 release, Natural. This is Winter Winner, which is exactly what the New England Patriots are!
ゲレンデに降りたサンタクロース白い吐息は君を迎えに甘い冬の総合支配に弾き切れそうなこの想いが灼熱ヒーター雪を飛ばしたノリノリウィンター滑り出したエンジェルハンターときめき君どうかこだましてゆく粉雪舞い散る空にコザック白銀の妖精たち探す寒さ忘れお祭りサーカス舞台出したゲレンデは二人だけのホワイトクリームノリノリウィンター動き出した前のメリハッターときめき急上昇
灼熱ヒーター雪を溶かしたノリノリウィンター滑り出したエンジェルハッター、ときめき空洞を奪い出したゲレンデは二人だけのホワイトフィールノリノリウィンター、動き出した前のメリハッター、ときめき急上昇寒さに逃げるな簡単に戦れぶつかれ、それがウィンターウィナ
Seth Ryder from Japanese rappers Hal Kelly from their 2003 debut album Hal Kelly Bacon. Halka and U Kelly have been a bit on the quiet side since their 2012 album Hal Kelly no Okawale. So who knows if and when we'll hear something new from them. A couple weeks ago, I chatted about the Oscars and how there was practically no one worthy of the Best Actor award than Michael Keaton. His performance in Birdman was phenomenal, and worthy of just about every award he's already grabbed. I thought there would be no one who could even come close to beating him. Then last weekend, I saw The Imitation Game. What Benedict Cumberbatch did as Alan Turing is the reason why the Oscars were made. You see, there's acting, and then there's becoming one with the character. And that is exactly what he did in The Imitation Game. In the past, I've talked about how actors tend to take some of these dramatic roles so as to up their game of sorts, as you can just look into their eyes and see that they're just doing it for their recognition. I remember first noticing this back in 2003 during Sean Penn's performance in Mystic River. You could tell in his gaze, even in his most emotional moments, that he was doing this all for Oscar glory. And it worked. He stole the award from Bill Murray's more memorable performance in Lost in Translation, a film that hasn't aged a bit, mind you. Cumberbatch, on the other hand, engulfed himself in the role of Alan Turing. The intensity he had while building what would be a huge step towards computer technology, how he had to hide his sexuality in fear of being arrested because it was the 1940s and the government didn't know any better, and the concentration he had to break the Nazi Enigma code was all shown in what seemed to be a natural state for Cumberbatch. Yes, he's used to playing such characters, especially in Sherlock. But when you looked into Cumberbatch's eyes during his performance in The Imitation Game, you could see the real emotion he put into it. And that is not an easy task to accomplish. But we'll have to see whether Cumberbatch or Keaton will walk away with the award, or if it'll be one of the other nominees that I can't seem to remember at the moment, so that probably means it's going to be either or. I do have to note, too, that Keira Knightley as Joan Clarke was also well done, but she's got some good competition in the form of Emma Stone and Patricia Arquette at this year's awards, so who knows if she'll grab a statue. The awards are in a couple weeks, so we'll find out soon enough. Let's return to this week's playlist. Here are our favorite superheroes, the Aquabats, singing a song that I'm sure Tom Brady was humming when he got awarded the Super Bowl MVP. From Charge, this is Look at Me, I'm a Winner.
Yeah! しこもった脇なしの檻の中、うるせえ真摯に騙され悩まされるのは去年だ。 Please, please, die tonight。 Please, 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 die tonight。 Please, please, die tonight。 Please, 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 die tonight。 今夜死んでくれ、今夜死んでくれ。
Tonight from 2008's Peace and Destroy LP. That goes out to all you Deflategate believers who still call the Patriots cheaters, despite evidence showing that they had nothing to do with the air pressure of their balls. Recently, Hulu announced that they would begin streaming the 2013 film Lupin III vs. Detective Conan. This was a well-buzzed movie in Japan, with the world's greatest thief going head-on with Japan's most famous sleuth. But after watching the film, it left me more confused than entertained. And let me explain why this may be. In order to watch Lupin III versus Detective Conan, you have to be incredibly familiar with the Detective Conan series, or Case Closed, as it's known here. I myself have seen only the episodes that aired on Adult Swim many years ago, but I remember really loving it. But I think it's going to be impossible for anyone to really jump into the series and expect to see it all, as there are currently 767 episodes of the show and 85 volumes of the manga, both of which are still currently running and show no sign of stopping. So during the majority of the film, I had to pause and research all these different characters and scenarios they spoke of from the Detective Conan universe. Whereas when it came to the scenes with Lupin, Jigen, Goemon, Fujiko, and Zenigata, it was easy to follow. I don't say that because I'm a huge Lupin III fan, but rather I say it because the concept of Lupin was fairly simple to follow. Lupin and his gang steal, Zenigata tries to stop them, sometimes they work together to take down a common enemy, and the cycle continues. But it's always entertaining nonetheless. The fact that you have to know just about everything about Detective Conan to get this film took a huge chunk of fun out of viewing it. Imagine if you were a hardcore Lupin III fan, and you had just gone and seen this movie not knowing anything about Detective Conan. You'd be watching it with eyebrows raised at every turn, feeling more perplexed by all these people and references that are mentioned throughout. Personally, I feel like if they had maybe simplified the Detective Conan aspects, it would have been a more enjoyable film. Or it's just me not knowing enough of Conan Edogawa's story, I don't know. But if you want to catch Lupin III vs. Detective Conan, you can find it on Hulu. There's also another Lupin vs. Conan special that aired a couple years before this movie, which is kind of required to see to understand the final act of the film. I don't know why Hulu decided not to license that one as well, but maybe someday it'll make its way onto there and we won't be as confused by the last few bits of the movie. Let us return to our playlist for this week. Here's another helping of ska from the ladies of Art Azkaban, who are gearing up for their upcoming Love and Call tour. From 2009's What a Wonderful World, Volume 2, this is Teenagers.
We'll be right back.
by Iggy Pop, that was Teddy Bears with Punk Rocker from the Soft Machine LP. A new album from Teddy Bears is due later this year, so keep your eyes peeled for when it drops. So it's no secret that Sega hasn't been on a good gaming streak in a while. Sonic Boom bombed, thanks to it being one of the worst titles in the franchise. And the only game that could be considered a hit they released last year was Alien Isolation. In fact, our subsidiary, Atlus, had a better year than Sega itself, thanks to Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, Persona Q, and even the US release of Conception 2. By the way, do check out the trailer for Persona 5, it's totally badass! But anyways, it comes as no surprise that there have been major downsizings these last couple weeks, along with offices shutting down and moved to smaller locations. Not to mention, a bigger focus on mobile gaming rather than on consoles. This mobile gaming part sounds like a death sentence to me. As if Sega has now found itself in the same company as these crappy pay-to-win titles like Candy Crush Saga and these free runners like Temple Run. It should be noted that both Sonic and Crazy Taxi have been featured in free runners, with Sonic Runners seemingly like the next entry in that genre. And even though Sonic Team is developing it, I'm still not holding my breath. Sega might as well start playing taps and lower its coffin into the ground. But there could be hope for saving Sega, possibly not just to save its face, but even revitalizing it back to its glory days. I'm not the only one saying this, but a lot of people believe that Nintendo should swoop in and rescue them, thereby keeping the likes of Sonic, House of the Dead, Skies of Arcadia, and Yakuza under the house that Mario built. Not only would it be a smart business move, but adding the watchful eye of Nintendo to game production could help to make sure the quality of these titles don't dip into either Sonic Boom or Aliens Colonial Marines kinds of bad. Plus, can you imagine playing Total War on the Wii U? The gamepad was made for real-time strategy games like that. And there's already a chance something like this is brewing. Take it as pure speculation, but it was officially announced last week that Luigi's Mansion Arcade will be coming to Japan. This was revealed by Sega and will be at their booth at the Japan Amusement Expo. On top of that, the game was also developed by Capcom, who did initial location tests for it a while back. Capcom themselves have had a bit of financial trouble in recent years, and is also a company many people in the gaming journalism realm would like to see bought by Nintendo. But that's a discussion for another day. So let me ask you, listeners, for your opinion on this. Do you think Sega should be bought by Nintendo? Would Sony or Microsoft be a better pairing, and why? Or do you just want to see Sega fade away from existence? I really hope you don't, because Sega has been around for a really long time, and personally, it made up a huge chunk of my childhood. But write to us at thebastards@bossthebastardbrigade.com or comment on our Facebook pages. If we get enough responses, we'll read them off on a future episode of No Borders, No Race. So with that, let's get back to some music. Here's a little number from Shoko Nakagawa, who is currently doing the theme song for Pokemon X and Y. From the 2009 release Magic Time, this is Brand New Day.
Thank you.
Monobrite from their Monobrite 3 album. For some reason, there's a Michael Jackson impersonator in the video for this song. I don't really know why, but it's still pretty cool. Last week, it was revealed that Animal Logic Entertainment, an LA and Australia-based film company who worked on the Lego Movie, The Matrix, and 300, have partnered up with Tezuka Productions on a live-action version of Tetsuon Adam, better known here as Astro Boy. Their goal is to make it an adventure movie tailor-made for the comic book movie age. Their CEO, Zara Nalbandian, also said this, and I quote, "We've seen him as a manga, an anime, and an animated movie, but we've never seen him as a live-action movie, or him as a superhero. We actually see him in the same league as an Iron Man." End quote. This is the part that worries me the most in that quote. When you look at Iron Man, you think of Tony Stark and his persona. He's overconfident, sarcastic, and a tad bit of an asshole. It's what makes Iron Man great, because he saves the world while being a dick at the same time. Now look at Astro Boy. He's kind, thoughtful to others, emotional, hardworking, and careful of his surroundings during a battle. He is the complete opposite of Iron Man. Can you imagine Astro being cocky? You can't, right? Because it wouldn't work in the slightest. I don't know about you, but I personally think that the way Astro Boy is totally fine. He doesn't need to be given the whole superhero movie treatment. A live-action Astro Boy needs to be more of a journey film of sorts, at least from an origin perspective. His battle for acceptance by the human race, still fearful of robots, is one of the biggest strengths the original manga had, as it serves as an allegory for those that society viewed differently, whether it was of race, religion, sexual orientation, or disability. Yes, throw in some great robot fights. Bring Pluto and Atlas into the fold if you'd like. But don't forget about what made Astro great. He was a robot trying to fit in. And in return, he welcomed every good person around him, no matter who they were. In reality, Astro was more human than most of the humans in the series. If this is key in the film's plot, then it could be good. If not, then it'll just be another cash-in that may very well bomb at the box office. However, we have no idea how long it'll be before we get word on a script or what the film will really be like for a couple years. If it even gets off the ground in the first place, though. We all know these Hollywood anime adaptations tend to usually fall apart before they even get the go-ahead to film. Although, let me throw out a suggestion to Animal Logic Entertainment. If you want to get the story right, hire Natsu Onoda Power to write the screenplay. She's the woman responsible for the play Astro Boy in the God of Comics, and knows Tezuka's creation like the back of her hand. If you can't get someone from Tezuka Productions to write the script, then Power is your biggest hope to do this film justice. But that's just me. Hopefully Animal Logic and Tezuka Productions are working closely together to make sure it's the Astro Boy we all grew up with. If any news pops up about this, we'll be sure to cover it. Right now, though, let's return to some music. Here's a new track from the Decemberists, who just released a great new album called What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. This is Mystery.
I've already lost my way. go ahead, go ahead. I don't be sorry. And go ahead, go ahead. You don't need to be sorry.
From 2008's Vandals Bop LP. I saw those guys back in 2009 during the Japan Night Tour at TT the Bears, and they put on an amazing show. It's getting close to South by Southwest, so be sure to tune in soon for when we do our annual podcast show focused on the annual Austin Festival. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. For all other articles under the Geek Realm, go to egmnow.com/Electric Sisterhood. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. Now, before we go, let's turn down the music right here. I just want to take a moment to say a bit about Monty Ohm. You might have noticed during last week's episode, we got real quiet when someone brought up Ruby. The day we recorded that episode, news hit that he had been hospitalized, and at the time, we had no idea what his condition was. A few hours before the release of that episode, he had passed away after suffering an allergic reaction during surgery. We here at the Electric Sisterhood send our love to Monty, his family, and his closest friends. I was reading a lot of people's reactions to this on Facebook, some very close friends of mine, and they took it really badly. They've met him. They said he was one of the coolest guys out there, one of the kindest people, and I regret never being given the chance to actually meet the guy. So please be sure to give Ruby a viewing on Crunchyroll. It is a very fun show to watch. And if you can find it, see his Dead Fantasy films. I remember being at Anime Boston when he premiered those. I was blown away by this insane mashup. And I was kind of hoping to see either Koei Tecmo or Square Enix scoop him up and help create new titles with them. But I guess that will never happen. In his memory, please go out there and create whatever form of art you can, and make it shine as bright as his passion was. Post it on Tumblr, your Facebook, anywhere you'd like, and be proud of what you churn out. I'm sure that would make Monty Ohm very happy as he watches from above. So with that, let's close off this week's podcast. We're going to end the show with a new song from the band Gran Rodeo. This here is one of the B-sides featured on their Punky Funky Love single, and it's a little jazzy number going by the name of Suiyoko no Rinkaku. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
バカな自分に酔っ払って調子を知った恋を今見たのか食ってどうでしょう恋人たちはもう閉めるまちかと忘れさせてくれよ忘れらぬ日をもういないあなたを思っても 戻ってこない知ってるわよそんなことは何度も繰り返したい駆け引きなんでしょ込み上げる愛しさ Just with you, babe ろくでもない恋だなんて背伸びした 俺が本当の愛と信じたふりして 涙はもうほど効果的じゃない ため息が混じるような会話で
Bye, guys. ける愛おしさなんて口づけたいのに失った言葉が許さない。君